In many ways, this psalm, Psalm 23, this psalm is the most well-known of all the psalms, isn't it? In fact, it's probably the most well-known passage within the entire Bible. This psalm has also been of genuine help to millions of people in a multitude of different situations. It's been, and indeed it continues to be, doesn't it, a psalm of great comfort and hope during times of stress and of danger and of grief. It's a psalm that people can, in some measure, identify with the hardship and distress of their own lives. Therefore, it's difficult, perhaps it's even foolish or unnecessary, but it's difficult, isn't it, for me to comment upon this psalm. For this psalm, in a sense, speaks for itself. However, let me at least try to bring something fresh from it for you this evening, something which may help us as we come to pray in a little later on. Now, first of all, notice who wrote this psalm. It was David. David. Of course, David in his day was a very powerful and successful man. From a background of obscurity, a disregarded shepherd boy from the hill country around Bethlehem, he went on to become a great warrior who achieved great victories. He was also a successful king who united a fragmented and divided nation. He was also a wise ruler, deeply loved by all those who knew him. However, I think David is best known for his relationship with God. For David was a man of God, wasn't he? He was. He walked with God. He talked with God. He knew God. And he found in God true satisfaction for his deepest longings and desires. Indeed, this understanding of David as a man of God comes shining through, doesn't it, clearly and brightly from his many, many psalms. For example, Psalm 61, verse 2, "From the ends of the earth I call to you, I call as my heart grows faint." Or Psalm 62, verse 8, "Trust in him at all times, you people, pour out your hearts to him." Or Psalm 63, verse 3, "Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you." So David had a genuine, satisfying, profound relationship with God. And here in this psalm, in Psalm 23 here, this relationship of David with God also comes shining through, doesn't it? For here, within this psalm, David gives to us a vivid portrait of God being his shepherd. A shepherd who wonderfully watches over and cares for his people. A shepherd who brings us both comfort for the present and hope for the future. In other words, this psalm, well, it's an exhilarating outpouring, isn't it, of David's heart experience of dependence upon God and devotion towards God. Indeed, this personal experience which David has comes through in those little words he uses, those little pronouns he uses. "The Lord is my shepherd, for you are with me. My cup overflows." Well, let's look secondly and finally at some of those things which the Lord is to David. There are seven in all which I want to bring out, so we'll go through them very quickly. Seven things which the Lord is to David from this psalm. First is found in verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd." In other words, the Lord is David's owner. David belongs to God. Now, isn't that amazing, isn't it? Of course, we all belong to God because he has made us all. But David is speaking here of much, much more than that. For not only has God made us, he has also redeemed us. He has bought us with the precious blood of his own beloved Son. Therefore, we belong to God. We're God's very own possession. We're precious to God. And it's not because of anything we've done, no. It's as if it's some honour granted to us for services rendered. No, it's all, from beginning to end, it's all of God's kindness and mercy to us in Jesus Christ. The Lord is my owner. Secondly, not only is the Lord David's owner, he's also David's provider. And this truth could also be seen within verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's incredible. Now, we live in a society, don't we, which always wants more. We live within a society in which people are continually trying to find satisfaction and meaning for their lives. But David, well, he has got off of that treadmill, hasn't he, so to speak? David is no longer scrabbling about after meaning and satisfaction. No, David has found meaning. David has found satisfaction. David, actually, amazingly, David has enough. For David has absolutely everything he needs. He lacks nothing. Of course, what David has is not particularly what this world thinks it wants. It's not what this world thinks it needs even. But nevertheless, it's the only thing that truly satisfies. For David has God. It's exactly the same sentiment which Peter expresses in John 6, verse 68. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. The Lord is my provider. Third, the Lord is David's peace and joy. This can be seen in verses 2 and 3. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. In other words, the Lord gives refreshment to David. Sadly, within this world, as God's people, we can often take our eyes off the Lord, can't we? As a result, we can lose that joy and peace which we had in him. So we try to regain it, don't we? By trying to find it within the world. But the things of this world, well, they don't compare, do they? Of course they don't. Or in the words of William Cooper, where is the blessing that I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul-refreshing view of Jesus and his word? The Lord is my peace and joy. Fourth, the Lord is David's guide. This is also seen in verse 3. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So the Lord directs us when the way is not clear for us. The Lord opens up the way for us and shows us the way we should go. Indeed, even when we do not see or understand his direction, we know that he is going before us. We know that he is working together all things for our good. We're in his hands, we're in the hands of a sovereign God who is truly able to do all things and who also cares for us, his people. That's why David can go on to say in verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death or the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. The Lord is my guide. Fifth, David takes it a stage further, doesn't he? It's even more amazing. You see, not only is the Lord David's guide, the Lord is also David's companion. It's David's companion. In the picture of the shepherd, of a Middle Eastern shepherd, where the shepherd would lead the sheep and the sheep would follow, that's the picture. But in this case, the shepherd is no longer now leading from the front, is he? No. He's come alongside us. Do you notice that? He's with us. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Isn't that comforting? Isn't it? Should be. For whatever we may go through, we know that the Lord is with us. Whatever we go through, he is with us. We know that we are in his hands. As a small child knows that he's safe in the arms of his parents, so we know that we're safe in the arms of our shepherd. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. The Lord is my companion. Sixth, almost there. The Lord is David's instructor. This can be seen in the last part of verse 4. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see, the shepherd's rod and staff were used, yes, to protect the sheep from attack, from the attack of wild animals, but also to teach the sheep and to bring them back into line. The Lord comforts us. He gives us fortitude. So that word comfort means, there's I think it's on the Bayeux Tapestry of the Battle of Hastings, there's a picture of the king with his sword poking his soldiers, and it says the king is comforting his soldiers, gives them fortitude, tells them to get on with it. The Lord comforts us, he gives us fortitude, he gives us strength, he gives us hope within our hearts. He teaches us and instructs us how we should live before him within this world. Of course, sometimes that instruction can be very painful, can't it? But nevertheless, it's for our good, for he loves us. Hebrews 12, verse 10, God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. The Lord is my instructor. Seventh, finally, the Lord is David's host. This is the reality expressed by those final two verses. For it's a picture, isn't it? It's a picture of overflowing abundance and security. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, no matter what we may suffer in this world, no matter what unpleasantness and distress we may go through, no matter what hardships, no matter what difficulties, we know, don't we, that the Lord is our shepherd. We know that he will be with us in this world. We know that he will even take us through death itself. He will be with us, alongside us, as we go through death. He's been through it himself, knows what it's like, and he will be with us. And we know, don't we, that one day we will see him. We will see the king in his beauty and view a land that stretches afar. We will see him. We will be with him. And we will be made like him. And then, when we awake to see his face, as Psalm 17 expresses it, then we will know that the sufferings of this world don't really amount to anything at all in comparison. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, are light and momentary troubles. That's all they are light and momentary troubles, written by Paul, who knew what it was like to suffer distress and hardship within this world. He writes, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Our troubles and hardships in this world are as dust in the scales compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. The Lord is our host. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to spend 3 minutes, I think. The clock starts, I'll pray, and then the clock will start. Let's spend some time just in response to God's word, perhaps through that psalm he's spoken to you again. Pour out your heart to him in thankfulness and praise and worship and love and adoration. Let's pray. Oh, our gracious Father, we thank you for this psalm. It is an amazing psalm. No wonder it is such a well-known psalm. For David does indeed express something of the wonder and the depth and the joy of his relationship with you, his God. We thank you that you are our shepherd. We thank you that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. We thank you that he went through death for us and that he will go through death with us. We thank you that we do not need to fear, for you are with us. Oh, our Father, help us. We are weak, we are cold, we are so unappreciative of the depth and the wonder and the glory and the magnificence and the majesty of who you are and your grace to us in Christ. Warm our hearts, draw from us that love, that praise, which is your due. Amen.